Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com and prayerprescriptions.com, and also the host of the show. My guest this evening is Sheila Odette. Tonight we will explore the astrological composite chart of when a person first meets her dog or cat. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Sheila Odette. Hello, dear Sheila.
Hello, dear Kate. How are you?
How are you? I'm great. How are you?
Yes. Do you know what day this is?
Today
this is the day 13th. Is the day in 1781 that the planet Uranus was discovered.
Oh, no. We can. That's really interesting, the 13th of March.
Seventh planet from the sun, huh?
Yeah.
What?
Cool.
Yes, seventh planet from the sun. So we are in Uranus day, this day, with Uranus at, right in the beginning of Aries. So it's a very interesting, time. Kate?
I think that seems to be happening more as like a, I don't know what it is, hang on.
The music?
Weird, but it's okay.
Nothing's weird these days. I've been working more and more with my whole Wizard of Oz trip. It all circled around to animals, and every single household that I was in on the way or wherever, there was always two dogs and some cats, but there was always two dogs.
Right.
And I left from Lancaster to go to Santa Fe, and I ended up in the first house with two dogs and a cat, and they just laid in my lap and laid around me. It was very interesting. It's just been a journey of, and then when I got to Santa Fe, there were two big sheepdogs. One was called Bubba, and the other one was called Sadie, and they just stayed by me all the time. And now I'm living for a while till my apartment's ready with this person that grooms dogs.
Yes, I've been,
and she has this gorgeous grooming place. It's called Country Pets. She does beautiful, beautiful work. And so in my interest in animals is that I went out on her dog grooming bus with her and groomed dogs one day because I wanted to feel more energy around the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been like an amazing kind of trip, you know.
Right.
And so since you have a new dog,
I was very interested in seeing Pearl,
P-E-A-R-L or P-E-A-R-L-E, which, how are you spelling
That's-
it?
Pearl, P-E-A-R-L.
Yes. So anyway, I decided to look at Ulysses and Mukunda's chart and see how Pearl connects to that. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is pretty amazing.
To our listening audience that this evening, as I mentioned, we will be exploring this link that people have to animals, especially dogs and cats. That's what we'll be discussing tonight. And Ulysses and Mukunda were dogs that, especially Mukunda, I got 28 years after a traumatic event where 8 of my dogs were shot by a neighboring farmer. Now, let me just say that the reason I mentioned that is because it took me 28 years to get another dog. So he saved my life in many ways, just to open my heart emotionally to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, the Mukunda's chart, as we both know, is that Mukunda, you know, had the sun in Capricorn, and Uranus conduct the moon in Aquarius at 6 degrees of Aquarius. So, you know, I worked with a dog and its owner on Sunday, and the Capricorn, it seems to me that the Capricorn Aquarius energy of the dogs seemed to come from an ancient kind of tribe or of dogs and masters or that have been together for many lifetimes. This dog came to this this girl. She was going through thyroid cancer, and the dog she has an incredible amount of these dogs. One dog looks like a sphinx and it's totally blind. And all these dogs connect together, you know, with energy around her. And, of course, she's in remission after, you know, she got this dog. And the dog was also in the Capricorn Aquarian energy field. And so Mukunda, of course, was, you know, the sun and Neptune in Capricorn, Jupiter in Capricorn, and Uranus and the moon in Aquarius. Now, Ulysses had, of course, the moon at 1 degree of Aquarius with Neptune at 8 degrees of Aquarius. So I was anxious to see I hear the dog.
Yes, you do.
I was anxious to see the energy because, after all, your chart, you know, is the sun in Pisces and Capricorn in moon in Capricorn, right? So I was interested to see in your connection when you came together with the dog, which was, you know, you told me the date, and I went, okay, February the 19th, right at 8 o'clock. Do you know that the sun was at 29 degrees of Aquarius and the moon was at 0 degrees of Aquarius?
Wow.
Now, what are the odds of – so both of the other dogs – both of the other dogs with moon in Aquarius. Now, this moon of pearls is right on top, almost conjunct Ulysses and Mukunda's moon. So they are from the same maternal family.
Oh,
they
my, isn't that exciting?
Well, I thought that you would be, I mean, I got very excited about it.
I thought it was really cool.
I thought it was extremely
cool.
And then, and then Neptune, of course, at 0 degrees of Pisces, you know, lays on top of Ulysses, Mercury in Pisces. So I was thinking that from the spiritual world, this dog is a channel for Ulysses. There is some kind of channeling energy. Because Mercury is a communicator, and Neptune, you know, has just you know, gone into its own sign of Pisces. So this dog has come to you at this time to communicate. I think the other through the, but I mean, basically, I think it's the entire group.
Of dogs
that are connected to this particular group, and I think this particular group of dogs. Really are have the ancient brain. It's the ancient brain energy. And with all your work about the prescription prayers and all, that is Neptune, 0 degrees of Pisces. And, you know, Mercury in Pisces.
Yeah.
So I find that a really absolutely fascinating, you know. And then Ulysses, of course, had Venus in Aries, which means, you know, Venus is in Aries now. And Uranus is at 2 degrees of Aries. So it's, you know, there you go again, instant information.
Yeah.
And of course now, it's communication. So you're going to, as the dog gets older, and of course, you know, Mercury just went retrograde in Aries.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we're dealing. Yeah. So, we're dealing with Mercury retrograde in Aries and Mars retrograde in Virgo and Saturn at the end of Libra, but it went retrograde. So we're dealing, you know, I always think that retrograde, beside being going back over things, is a spiritual, is a communication that opens to the other world.
Uh-huh.
And this is a puppy, okay? This is a puppy.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, again, significant of your Venus Mars, your own Venus Mars is in Aries, right?
Yeah.
And so right away we're saying, okay, this dog came to you laying right on your Venus Mars. So there's a great deal of love and affection and male female energy that's going on there. It's quite fascinating, and with your Saturn at 0 degrees of Libra, you know, and
yes.
Of course retrograde. So this dog is a balance of the other two dogs, because the other two dogs' charts go together. You know, like one is a cup on one side, a half moon, and the other one's a half moon on the other side. So this
yes.
is almost like a Libra in energy, where this dog is the center point of that.
Oh, that's very interesting.
That's fascinating.
Yes, yeah. It is.
So I thought that was fascinating, and the more I'm working with this, it's you know, a woman called today whose dog is 11, and she's very interested in the connection. She said there's some otherworldly connection with her, and I think that's with all these dogs that I've witnessed in my trip, in
mm-hmm.
my Wizard of Oz trip. know, which actually, you know, actually was fire, earth, air, and water, the trip, because we went in a red car, okay, and we got there, Uranus and Aries, in 2 days and 2 hours to Santa Fe, New Mexico,
uh-huh.
which is literally almost impossible. We didn't stop to eat. We had gourmet food in the car. This woman was a caterer. We only stopped to sleep for a few hours. But, you know, when we showed up in Santa Fe, they just went, you can't be here, you know. But, you know, I've gone through the desert, the air, you know, fire, earth, air, and water. And
yes.
There was a big party at the end when I was leaving, and they were singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And my brain, which is very fairy tale oriented and symbolic, I thought, well, Dorothy ended up back in Kansas.
uh-huh. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Dorothy also was everything, the courage, the heart, and the brain, everything you're hunting for is right back where you started from.
Yeah.
And you know, and I met the good witch. I met the wizard. I met on this trip every single one of the characters in The Wizard of Oz. It was simply like the yellow brick road. And I went over into the desert, and I thought to myself, I don't belong in the desert, but there's something here I'm to learn in the desert, right?
Right.
And I went from living in a shaman's house with skeletons all over the wall. It was quite an interesting place. It had, and here in this house, particular house, a cat lived outside the door, never came in. You
mm-hmm.
feed the cat, and it was called Cat. And I loved Cat, and in order to be with Cat, you had to go outside the door and sit with Cat outside.
Wow.
It was the most fascinating thing. But Cat would be right at the door guarding you. It was just fascinating, you know? And then basically, I met Joni, this wonderful woman who has the Arc bookstore in Santa Fe, and I did, I don't know how many readings, many readings. But everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think the synchronicity of humanity is overwhelming, because every reading that I did was part of what I was going through.
Right.
I mean, it just was a whole thing that people, men and women both sat down. And, you know, one man, which is a very interesting, sat down and he had his daughter taken from him and didn't meet her till she was 15. And he was trying to, and so he was falling in love again and he would not do it. And
mm-hmm.
I said, you know, since, you know, Joanne died, that's my friend and business partner. I said to him, a friend told me that, you know, it's hard to say. But I'm okay. Love hurts, but it's worth it. And mm-hmm, he said, really, I said, somebody said that on her dying bed. It was her last words, you know?
Yeah.
And that man said, that's a message absolutely for me. And another woman sat down and said, I moved to Santa Fe three weeks ago, and I hate it here.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, and I said, really? What?
You will be interested to know that the switchboard is lighting up here. So let me get some people.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get this in the people who are the first, second, third, fourth, et cetera. So this is area code 207. How are you this evening?
What?
207,
hello?
Area code. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi. Hi, my name is Tom.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. I was wondering if you can tell me anything about the house we purchased when we move in. Will everything go good during the closing? Will we be happy there? Anything at all.
Okay, Tom. When's your birthday, dear?
January 27, 59, 11:50 a.m.
Okay.
Queens, New York.
Just a minute. All right. So when did you do closure on the house?
We're going to close on the 15th of April.
The 15th of April, okay. Okay. Okay, Tom. January the 27th, okay. Let me see here. I'm looking at your Saturn. It's an excellent time for you to have for the house. Excellent for you. Okay.
Okay.
The Capricorn thing, the plutonic thing in Capricorn, means that it's very deep and you're connected to the environment. Okay. You're connected to the environment. It's a good choice, and that you'll stay there for a long time. Okay, and you're closing on April the 15th, right? Is that what you just said to me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's a good time, too, because the moon is in Aquarius, okay? And, yes. Everything is good, and the thing in this that I like a lot is that Pluto does go retrograde on the 11th of April, which means plutonically, that for me is saying it's a find from the other world. It's a good deal, Tom.
Wow.
Are you
okay.
there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes.
You want to draw a tarot card on that?
Yes, I sure will. Okay. Yeah, go on, Tom.
Yeah, that's really good. Thank you very much.
Okay, for the cards that I got the best one of the best cards in the deck. It's the Sun card. The house will help you into a certain kind of transformation that you're going into. And I look at all the trance words as coming out of a trance. It's going to afford you a transformation where you're going to make more money, where you're going to be happier, where you're going to be more settled, where you're going to be able to shine. There is one more thing. I got the Cup card, the Shaman of Cups. There is one more plutonic thing that you have to put in the pot to put your mind at rest about the house. What is that?
Gee, I don't know. Maybe the down payment.
Well, what you need to do here is know, Tom, that this is the right thing to do. Put no fear around it at all. You know, the word fear means false events appearing real. Just put everything joyful around, and every time you tell the story about the house or anything about the house, it's a joyful move. It's a good move. It's a Capricorn move. It's where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do, okay?
Wow. Okay.
All right, Tom. Nice to talk
to you. Oh, that sounds great. Thank you very much.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Our next caller, is 717 area code. Hi there.
Mm-hmm.
This must be Samantha.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Samantha. Well, it's very interesting because I have the thing that I didn't get to say at the end of all that is Gandalf's chart, which I put with the other dogs. And Gandalf's chart, here is a zero Gemini, which with Gandalf here, it's almost like Gandalf brings animals together. Gandalf is like, and Mercury and Gemini, he's like a great communicator, and he's very playful. And his moon in Leo makes great friends with younger dogs. And so he has this moon, beautiful moon in Leo, but it's in the 12th house with Saturn in Leo also. So it's a great chart, and his Neptune is in Aquarius on top of the other top of Kate's dog's charts. So it's no accident that you and Kate and the dogs are all united.
Now, Samantha, what was the day and the time that you got Gandalf? Do you remember that?
Well, it was in the middle of the day, and it was on or near July 16th. His birthday is May 21st.
Is 2007, right. So let me look that up. You got him when? Say it again, sweetie.
It was near the 16th of July because he was just 8 weeks old, and he was born May 21st, 2007.
Okay.
In York.
Yes.
Okay. And
in York, okay.
Right. And I was looking for a big, healthy puppy, and I went to
and
this
a beautiful
place.
Puppy.
And a golden retriever. I was looking for a golden retriever. And I went to this place in York that had the mother had her first litter. And there were five puppies, three females and two males. And the biggest male pushed the other puppies out of the way.
Aww.
Rushed up to me, put his paws on my lap, and looked me in the eye. Mm. And I took him home 15 minutes later.
Oh, wow.
He literally pushed the other dogs away?
He did, Kate. He pushed him out of the way.
Oh.
And he was a huge puppy. He was a huge puppy.
So that date was what? July what?
That would have been around July 16th, because he had just turned 8 weeks old. And he was born on the 21st.
Now, the most amazing thing about that is the moon was in Leo again on top of Gandalf's moon, which was trine your Sagittarius, which means, again, that, the almost a vision, because of the Sagittarius-Leo fire trine, there is almost a vision. And Venus, I love Venus in Virgo here because it means that you were brought together mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's what Virgo means as a bond. And then, of course, the big thing is Jupiter in Sagittarius, and you're a Sagittarius. And you know that Gandalf has a double yod in his chart, which is it's like a finger. It's a finger of God, and it points to Venus in Cancer, which is the most loving, sweet animal, the most, adorable, sweet, loving animal, and very regal, because the moon in Leo is a king, that's the kingly sign, you know what I mean?
He's the love of my life. He really is.
He's what?
I know.
He's the love of my life.
The love of her life.
Yes. Even beyond the other dogs that you've had.
Yes. Because there's a special connection with this dog. I mean,
yes, there
this is the dog that works with healing with me. This is the dog that, talks to me. He growls.
Well, he will always be.
And he likes tennis balls.
And he loves tennis balls.
Yeah.
Kate, did you tell her what happened with Pearl and the tennis ball?
Are we talking about... Well, you tell the story, please.
What happened is that, Pearl... Gandalf's 90 pounds and Pearl is 30 pounds. And she was a little surprised when she saw the size of him. And she ran around and hid in the corners and stuff for a couple of minutes. And then she popped right out and sat up next to her mother. And then we were rolling tennis balls in the living room. And Pearl jumped up, ran over, and grabbed his tennis ball and jumped up on the couch again. He was so surprised, Sheila. His mouth dropped open. And he walked
over
and looked at her, and she dropped the ball very demurely. And then he rolled it to her with his nose.
Oh, wow. Isn't that sweet?
It was very sweet.
They did that for a while,
yeah.
too. Mm-hmm. He actually threw the ball at her numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
We should get that on video sometime. That would be really cool.
It would. So May 21st, 2007, the big boy was born.
Yes.
And the other thing was
that
he was just so it was the first litter of puppies, and there were three teenagers there, and they just picked him up constantly, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So the puppies were very, very sweet. But honestly, Sheila, when he put his paws on my knees, that was it.
Oh, my
In the eye, that was it.
What a beautiful dog. I'll tell you, he is an unusual character.
And he is a big boy.
Yeah.
Mars and Aries' wife pushed the other dogs out of the way.
Well,
Mars and Aries,
he just shoved them out of the way.
This is my mother, and I'm going with her. Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. He just shoved them out of the way and came barreling over.
He did that indeed.
And your dog came from, did you say your dog came from Tennessee, Kate?
Yes, I did.
Where'd you say your dog? Yeah, how did that come about?
Tom and Guthrie went to pick her up. Now, Trouble the Dog, Sheila. Uh-huh. Sheila Trouble the Dog Duncan is a rescuer. And she rescues dogs mainly from Tennessee because it's a state where dogs are still running in packs and, you know, nobody really cares about them. Probably mm-hmm. it's a very poor state also where people are having problems, keeping them. It was pretty obvious to me as soon as I picked up Pearl that she had a hernia. And it could really well be that the person who, I think somebody did love her for a period of time and had to dump her because they mm-hmm. couldn't afford to get the hernia fixed. Because she was completely house trained. She listened very well. She already knows some commands beyond the ones that we've already, again, have now taught her. So it's really interesting that that's the way the culture is about animals there.
Very, very smart girl, she forgot to mention.
Oh,
when we were there, I brought a backpack, Sheila, that was zipped up and at least up 3.5-4 feet on a pile of stuff. We went out.
Wow.
Mistress Pearl got it off, got it unzipped, and took stuff out of it.
I love
Kate
Pearl.
Found it under furniture.
She was hunting for
the Bach rescue remedy I found under the cabinet. Well, I can't believe it. She didn't rip it open either. She unzipped
it was unzipped.
Yeah.
She was clever enough to figure out how to unzip it. Because it was wide open
I
thought, gee, that's funny. I thought I zipped that up.
Yeah,
no,
you did.
Yes. Well, the pearl, you know, it's interesting because the pearl is it's made by great aggravation and it becomes this beautiful pearl. So it's interesting that you named the dog Pearl.
Sheila Duncan.
Story about Sheila.
Is the one
I have to tell you about Sheila Duncan. Sheila Duncan, I took Trouble with me to Santa Fe.
Yeah.
Santa Fe, and Trouble was on my bed. So I did this wonderful, beautiful child's chart that actually works in the Ark. She works in the Ark, but she loves animals. She rescues animals all over the place and brings them home, and just the most lovely, gorgeous child. And she was having these problems about, you know, she wants to be a pediatric nurse, okay?
Yeah.
So we went over a chart and we did a lot of work, and I said, you have to start right away to be a pediatric nurse because you will be wonderful. You will bring dogs and children together and all of your work. And she's come out of a really, really hard life. Some of the teenagers I did there, or the young people did. So the next day I decided that she should have Trouble. So I took Trouble in the store. And I said, I have a present for you. And she came back to where I was doing my work. And I handed her Trouble, and Sheila Duncan, you know that, she said it's a sign that I'm to be a pediatric nurse, and she started sobbing.
Oh,
dear little soul.
So that's where Trouble is residing with her.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Sheila Duncan's listening. It's so good you said her name, because I wanted her to know that this child just hugged the dog.
Oh,
and said she's
so going to
take it in all her work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a beautiful, beautiful thing that happened there. So I thought she'd like to know that, or Sheila would like to know that, you know.
Yes, we will tell her, have her listen to the show here.
I'm getting off. I love you. Thank you.
You
so
are.
Much.
Love you. Love you. You can
I love
stay
you,
on
Samantha.
And listen.
Oh, yeah,
listen.
I can do either one. I just didn't want to hog a line.
You're not hogging
you.
Anything, ever.
Kiss that beautiful Gandalf for all of us. Everybody
in
the world.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Well, you know, I think he just fell madly in love with both Pearl and Kate.
Mm-hmm. Well, who would?
He actually growled when...
He did. It was so funny, Sheila, because Pearl jumped up next to her, to Kate, and Gandalf growled at her.
Mm-hmm.
It was the only time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just because he considered her his.
He actually was a little embarrassed. He was embarrassed with himself for doing it.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
Do dogs get embarrassed?
Oh,
uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I want to bring on Samantha, we love you. Stay on.
Yeah.
We're going to bring on area code 301.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just bring that. 301 area code, hello this evening. How are you?
I am fine.
May I just tell you, thank you very much for your patience.
You're welcome.
Good. Do you have a
question? What's your name?
Belinda.
Hmm?
Hello?
Hello.
Mm-hmm. What's your birthday?
It's 5/10/84.
5/10/84. Okay. May 10th, 1984, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's your question, honey?
Well, I have two questions.
Okay,
First question.
Oh my gosh, I just flipped open my thing and it came right to your thing automatically. That was amazing. Out of all these pages in this book. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You must really, huh? That was really wonderful. Go on, honey. What's the question?
I had a question about a dog. I don't know where this dog is coming from,
mm-hmm.
but supposedly I'm supposed to get a dog. And I want to know if you could see some of the history of where this dog has come from.
Okay. Do you know anything at all when the dog was born? Or?
So this is
something that's just coming upon you, that the dog is coming to you, right?
I was interested in, you know, getting kind of like a running partner, more like a dog.
Uh huh.
And I wanted a big dog.
You know, you wanted a big dog. Okay. Well, and in looking at your, you should have a big dog. Okay. And your Jupiter in Capricorn, you're going to get a dog that is probably really because you have all this Scorpio in your chart. It's been connected to you before in other lifetimes. You have Pluto in Scorpio, Mars in Scorpio, all of this Scorpio energy, and Saturn in Scorpio. So I always say Saturn in Scorpio is a dog that you've had from another lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming closer and closer and closer, and you're getting feelings about it. Because Venus right now is in Taurus. So it's a dog that you loved before. Okay? So I would begin to say prayers about, I'm open to it. I'm open to it. I'm allowing it to happen. And I think it's a right time for it to happen. Okay?
Do you see what the dog does? Like, did he was he special? Like, was he a special dog? Or he was just pretty much like, you know, a rescue dog. Like, I got him from the pound. Or maybe, you know, he's just like a regular dog.
She'll know it when she sees it.
You'll know what that was, a voice from afar. You'll know, you know, just as Samantha said, the dog threw everybody out of the way.
Yes.
And there's another story of a dog. The dog's name in Kennett, who works with horses, is called Ready Return. The dog has since passed on. But the friend got this dog for her father as a present. And the dog went around and shit in everybody's shoes in the house. So there was, the father called my friend Aggie O'Brien, who works with these large animals, and said, come and get the dog. Now, this dog is a dog that helps to birth babies from the horses. It stays in the stall. When the colt comes out, it licks all of the stuff off the dog. I mean, off the horse, and helps it to stand up, and then it leaves. And it also one like a Barbaros, the dog that was in the Derby that got the heel thing that died eventually. This, another horse had the same kind of thing, and they said the dog was going to die. And Reddy stayed in, went in every day when they took the bandages off and licked the heels of this horse, and actually was a healer of animals. So and saved this horse's life. So the point is that I'm making and Samantha's making, and I think Kate too, is that when you see the dog, no matter if you walk, you have to go to the environment of the Humane Society or go to the environment where you are, but the dog and you will recognize each other just as that happened and just as it happened with Samantha. So you have to be totally open to that. Okay?
You know, another
thing
is, wouldn't
be asking the question.
You can tell by looking at a picture. That's what happened with me and my new dog, Pearl. I just saw the picture of Pearl and knew that she was the one.
Right. And you wouldn't be asking this question, and you wouldn't be putting this energy, this electromagnetic energy into the universe if the dog wasn't in your vortex coming towards you.
And close, yeah.
Mm. Yes.
That's right.
Okay. Are you there?
Okay. Yeah, I was just pretty much preparing my second question. So the second question is, you have a hold of my chart. I wanted to know what does retrograde planets mean, and also with the empty houses, is that bad?
No, nothing is bad in astrology. It just is what it is. Okay, retrograde planets for me, when they're in a chart, means two different things. Sometimes when you're born, like you're born with Mars retrograde, okay, and you're born with Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, all these things are really retrograde in your chart. And actually, Mercury went direct on the day that you were born. So what all that means is, I think when you have that many retrograde planets, one of the things that I've worked with hundreds of chart with is that there is so much energy that it has to be stored. You can't use it right away because it would blow your brain out. So it's like you've been in many lifetimes and you come here and you've learned all of these things, but not until you're older are you ready to use that energy. So it comes slowly. And it's a process. It's a process of going, of using it and going direct. Now, your plutonic energy goes back to Libra. So that moved all the way back 10, 11, 12. When you were 14, it went back into the planet, into the sign behind it, which is unusual because that's really a major outer planet. So that is really another, if I was doing your entire chart, that really is a clue there that you are really going into not only information of Pluto and Scorpio, but information into the plutonic energy in Libra, which is Libra is like a seesaw that's balancing each side out. It's balancing out, and you're like the center of that to balance the universe out in a big way. So no, empty houses mean you don't have anything to work on in those houses. When you're working with an empty house, you go to the sign that's on the house, on the cusp of the house. Say if it's Capricorn, then you hunt for Saturn in the chart, and you go, okay, Saturn is ruling it like from the 12th house. So you add in that it's being ruled from another space, like a long distance telephone call. And it brings that energy of that house into the empty house. So if it's like in the fifth house where life rewards action, as I say, and it's going from the 12th, it means that somehow you know something that's going to be in action in your lifetime. But it's a mystery. It's really a mystery. And that's the way you set your chart up. Because charts, you set your chart up for the lessons that you learn. Retrograde. So then when something does go retrograde, like, you know, right now we're dealing with Mercury retrograde, you know, everybody goes, oh, my God, that's a terrible thing. Oh, my God, that's a terrible thing. It's not a terrible thing. It means Mercury retrograde in Aries means that you're going to get instant information because Uranus is in Aries now. There's going to be instant information that comes out instantly. Now, one of the tragic things about Mercury retrograde, you know, I always look at the evening news to see how it's working out universally. And this thing in Afghanistan that just happened with this soldier that killed his 16 people and the children, that's a Uranus in Aries thing. But you look at that and you go, there's a lesson in that, and the lesson is you don't put a soldier on three tours, and especially after he's had an injury that his Jeep went over, and he has a brain injury, and he's being made into a killing machine.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
these people sacrifice their lives for, it's to bring to the foreground that violence and killing is not right.
Right.
Violence and killing is it, but you know. The person that perpetrated this, the man, it's the whole institution of putting people on this many tours. So you can say, okay, that's a really negative thing that happened, but in a positive sense, it means that that's going to be looked into, you know? And the other thing about Uranus and Aries and Mercury and Aries right now is instant information. That information was out in 10 minutes where... it's not even out in the country as fast as it came out all over the world.
Yeah.
So, did I answer your question? Hello?
Kind of. I wanted to know if there were any, like, bad aspects in my chart.
I don't believe in bad and good. I just believe in what is to work out. I believe that everything is a lesson. I believe that, you know, when I'm working on a chart, I'm a very optimistic astrologer. I can say, you know, if you have Mercury in Scorpio retrograde, it's very subjective that you deal with life and death issues. Now, you can say that's a negative, but it's not really a negative. It just is what it is. Saturn retrograde in Scorpio, which is also conjunct the Mars in Scorpio, some astrologers would read that as a negative. I do not read that as a negative. I read that as a very old soul that has come in to learn really not kindergarten lessons. It's come in to learn things about Saturn in Scorpio, about the restrictions and about things that have to do with life and death issues in many ways. And that doesn't just mean death. It means in relationships, in different kinds of changing, in different kinds of things. That's one of the things that you have Pluto in Scorpio too, which means that's its own sign, of course, in 84. But it still means that you have an ancient brain to work with that sort of thing. So if you bring up fear, around the lessons, then you're going to live in a state of fear. They're just all lessons, you know? That's the way I look at it.
Hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Let me pull a card for you, honey. Okay, I got the Four of Swords in the Mother Peace card here. Right now, this card, it's a pyramid of light, and she's sitting in the light, and all of her chakras are open. You're in a very holy place right now. You're open to information. You're seeking out information. You're asking good questions, really good questions. And it's a time for learning. It's a time for you to sit and meditate. You don't really have to sit and meditate, but it'd be a good time to meditate the way you do. The North Node here, I call the nodes the angels and not the dragon's head and tail. Your North Node, your South Node is in Sagittarius. And so there is, and I got the Crone card here, which means that South Node is in right now. It's on your shoulder. So you should be asking that angel to direct you to where you're going to go right now, because there's some kind of power that's opening up in you with the High Priestess here. It's some kind of power, and you're very hesitant to step over. You're very hesitant about it. But if you say, I'm allowing in exactly what I'm allowing in so that I get the information that I need right now in my life, it's going to work out terrific for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, honey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, honey.
We have a 484 area code. Good evening. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
484.
Hi. For taking my call. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
This is the
What's
first
your name?
Time I found. This is the first time I found your show. My name is Tonetta.
Hi, Tonetta.
I love that name. How do you spell that?
T-O-N-E-T-T-A.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay, when were you born, Tonetta? When were you born, honey?
8/29/74.
Okay. Okay, and what is your question?
Well, I have a question about a relationship, about a man. My
okay.
question is... I would like to know when you see the time frame of this man coming and bringing his belongings and moving into my home.
Okay.
You need
and
his,
would you give
you
me
need his name?
Just his first name and his birth time.
Jason,
I mean, his date of birth.
His name is Jason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
okay,
his
honey.
Date of birth is 4/17/75.
Okay, 4/17/75, is that correct?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Yes.
How long have you been gone with Jason?
Off and on for like 10 years.
10 years, okay. Okay, let me look here. Okay, and why won't Jason move in?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay, let's see. January, February, March, April, right? April the 17th, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we're dealing with an Aries. Okay. All right, we're dealing here with Jason with Aries and Cancer. He's afraid to give up his freedom because of this moon in the moon in Cancer, and your Virgo-ness, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, want him to commit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps finding ways to not do it. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. He's playing games because he'll come here and he'll say, well, I'm going to be moving in next week. And I'm not even pressuring him to move in. And he'll say, well, I'm going to be moving in next week. Next week comes, he doesn't come. So I want to know, why is he coming here and getting my hopes up and then, you know, leaving me hanging and then still coming around. And I'm to the point where now I don't even answer the door. Because...
Okay, so it's Venus in Gemini, which is... He's afraid to commit again. That's another signature. Jupiter in Aries is every time inside of himself that he goes to commit, then he gets all fearful and he runs. Somehow there has to be a breaker on the pattern. And he has Saturn in Cancer because his Moon in Cancer, which he thinks that if he does commit, then you'll have total rule over him and that he won't be able, he will lose his freedom.
Okay.
I would... Are you in counseling at all? Are you
no.
in counseling at all? Well, you know, in order to break this, honey, you're going to have to get a breaker. You're going to have to go into counseling, I would think, to break the pattern or else get out of the relationship.
Well, I've been trying to get out of the relationship. He still keeps coming to the door. He still keeps coming around.
Do you have something in front of you? What do you have lying in front of you? Anything?
I'm outside. I'm outside in my backyard
okay.
with my dog.
Okay. Well,
oh,
if
your dog is in front of you.
Yeah.
Your dog is in
okay,
front of you.
Okay. Your dog is in front of you? Try to pet your dog.
Okay.
Are you petting your dog?
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't try. You did it.
Yeah.
See, trying is not doing it. Trying is failing with honor. Doing it is petting the dog. So,
okay.
You know, in the movie Star Wars, it's do or do not do. There is no such thing as try. You have to mean it within yourself. You don't really mean it. And he knows that you don't really mean it. He's like a child that way. You know, this has just become a game with both of you. One of you has to step off the chessboard totally in order to bring it to an end. Or it
well,
will continue on. Do you want to?
You don't
on.
Feel like he's. You don't feel like he's going to move in because listen, he did bring his clothes in January and he did bring his clothes in February, but then he left.
Only his
in a
clothes.
Couple days.
Okay. Past history is what is going to happen in the present unless somehow you get to counseling, somehow you lay down the law. Somehow you say, what's going on? You have to get behind. You have to get into. This is not a judgment about Jason. This just means that you have to get somehow the emotion that's running him with this has got the energy and motion that is running him into this game has got to be brought up to the top so that he can deal with it. Because you don't want him to move in basically and then leave and run away in 6 months.
Right.
Because that
well,
seems to be his pattern.
Okay, so if he's afraid or whatever, then why does he keep coming to my door, like, you know, every couple of days or whenever he comes and knocking at my door and wanting to see me or what have you? Like I said, I'm to the point now where, you know.
Tonette,
if it's
listen to me.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that, Tonette. You don't know that. He doesn't know that. What I'm telling you is you need to get to a third party that can speak that's not emotionally involved
right.
to get where that emotion is coming from. Because when he gets, he must be in terrible pain. When he moves in his clothes and then he can't commit, and then he moves in his clothes again and can't commit, think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You go into his position for a moment.
Okay.
And that is an agonizing position. He's got to find out. It's probably something from his childhood. It's probably something from his relationship with his mother or father or something. There's something that he's afraid of, and you can't keep saying, well, why does he do that? He's got to find out why he does it.
But why does he come here and say to me, listen, I'm just letting you know I'm going to be moving in next week. He doesn't even need to say that. No one's pressuring him. No one's telling him to move in. Why is he playing
yeah,
that game?
At that moment when he's saying that, he believes it.
Mm-hmm.
He believes it in that moment when he's saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the moment you then what do you say to him?
I go, I'll see it when I believe it.
No. You no, that's not a question. Always when it comes up like that, you always end with a question. It's a secret of neurolinguistics. It's a secret of communication. You say to him, and not in a judgmental way, every time this happens, it seems that you don't do it. Why don't you do it?
Good one.
Then you let him answer. Then he'll answer you something, and then you answer him with another question. You insist, and you say, we're going to sit at this table with active listening. It's called active listening, for 20 minutes. And we're going to, both of us commit to sit here till we get to the bottom of the issue. That's what I would do if I was counseling you. And then, because if you say, I see it when I believe it, where do you go from there? You don't, he gets nowhere to go from there. All right?
Okay,
Tonette, will you try that for me?
Yeah, and then the other
weird
thing...
You seem very frustrated.
Yeah, the other weird thing that's going on with me and him is, like this evening, like, I haven't physically seen him in about a week and a half or 2 weeks because, like I said, I don't open my door for him, okay? I'm to the point where I'm sick of it. But I was outside.
Well, your door
today.
Is open, or you wouldn't be on the phone with me.
Exactly.
You're emotionally open. It doesn't matter if you physically open the door. The emotional door is open, honey.
Sure.
And, like I was going to tell you, I was outside today, and I can pick up a smell. And if I pick up a certain smell, it could be a cigarette smoke smell, and there's no one around me smoking cigarettes. It can be a cigarette smell, or it can be a men's cologne smell. And I smelled that today, and I can guarantee you, since I smelled that smell outside, Jason will be at my door at some point today. Now, what does that mean, that when I go outside or even in the house, if I pick up his smell, that he's at my door a couple hours later or later on that day? What does that mean?
Because, honey, you're connected to his soul. You're connected to him. You are connected to him, and you're also an intuitive, and you're psychic. And all of those things of above. The thing is you're running around in a circle. You're running around in a circle, and if you say something like, I believe it when I see it, you have just run around in a circle again. You're not asking questions. You're not, I think he wants to come. I do indeed think he wants to come. But you've got to do a different pattern. You've got to do a different pattern, Jeanette. Or it will continue on. And when you say that I don't open the door, it doesn't matter if you open the door, you're emotionally open. And, you know, people leave people, and I work with people that leave people and say, well, you know, I'm out of that. Then I say, why are you sitting here talking about it for 25 minutes? You're not out of it. You're in it. In it totally. And you're part of the game.
Picking
you're on
up
the chessboard.
Smell. Why am I picking up his smell? Is he thinking about me, or what is this?
Of course.
You're connected.
He's thinking about you as much as you're thinking about him. You know, there is the odorific, there is the visual, there is auditory, there is odorific, which is what you're picking up, that some psychics get the smell, some psychics, you know, hear, you know, some psychics see visions. It's all the same thing. The smell is a big thing. It's the first thing we do as babies. It's the first thing you smell the mother. It is the biggest thing, sign of a really wonderful psychic. Maybe you should work on that.
Well, yes, and I had a dream a couple of weeks ago where he brought about 8 or 9black garbage bags of clothing, and they were all sitting in my living room. And normally when I dream and I wake up and I remember the dream, it usually comes true. It usually comes to pass. So will that come to pass? Will he be bringing 8 or 9 black garbage bags?
What I would do, it's your dream. The way I work on a dream is that the 8 garbage bags are things with inside of you that you're working on, and I would sit down with my journal, and I would open each bag, and I would see what is in each bag, and I would do it with my left hand or my non-dominant hand, and just write things. You'll be shocked what you learn.
Okay.
You are keeping him out as much as he's keeping him out.
Good.
And when you own that, you're going to be shocked.
Okay.
The game is a thing right now. If it's 10 years, the game is a thing. And that's the way this relationship is being run. So whatever we project out is something that we're afraid of. So when it's out there, we can deal with it. That's why we have other people in our life. That's why we have relationships in our life. Because some of the things inside of us are too painful to deal with on our own, and we're in denial and repression. So we project them out into another person. So why don't you think about why you don't want to be in the relationship in some way? Instead of him, stop putting it on him. Start owning it. You're going to find out amazing things if you do what I ask you to do here.
Okay.
Because I just got cards, this fire card here in Wands, that the thing, there's a huge thing that you're solving here. You wouldn't be on the phone here. And you got the Ace of something new is being born in you, and it's going to change. It's going to change the world. You're working on a big thing, but you have got to own your part of it, Tonette. As long as you're working on his part of it, you're not working on your part of it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Do you hear me? What I say?
Yes.
What did I say? What did you hear?
I heard that I have to start working on my part of all this.
Good girl.
Good for you, that. Great.
Excellent.
Yes. And so you go and empty each one of those garbage bags, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And say,
okay.
Unconscious, tell me what's in the bag. Your unconscious will answer you. You're very psychic. Okay? So listen, if your unconscious is giving you messages like that and the odorific smell like that, you have to pay attention. Not say to me, why is this happening? Get in your journal and say, answer me, subconscious, what are you telling me? Okay.
Well, when I write all these things down, what do I do with them then? That's a lot of garbage bags.
Sure it is. Uh-huh. It's a lot of garbage bags. And you do it for me, okay? And the next time I'm on the radio, I want you to call back.
Okay.
Not until you do the process. Then we'll talk, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Good night, Angel.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
Well, we've actually come to the end of our hour. There is another caller here. You know, you could actually talk to this person even though everything goes off. So let me just bring that on.
All right, honey. Good night, everybody.
203 area code.
How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Woody.
What is it, Woody?
Yes.
Okay, W-O-O-D-Y?
Yes.
When were you born?
10/10/80.
When?
Oh,
I didn't hear it, honey. 10.
12. When? 10/10/80.
10/10/80. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. All right, what's your question?
I was wondering, me and my buddy in my pursuing career music. And I was wondering when you picked up things moving forward for us.
Mm-hmm. I always say being an artist right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of musician are you?
I write more. So I write different. I'm prior music, what comes to me.
Okay, what I'm going to tell you right now is that, Woody, it's time for you to move because, you know, you're Scorpio, right? So the energy, huh?
Libra.
I'm sorry. October the 10th, right. I'm sorry. Okay, so I got it. I was on the wrong page. Okay, so Libra is balanced, but hey, still all, you have the moon in Scorpio. Woody, the world needs some music right now. Mercury in Scorpio, very, very deep. It's a time for you. Uranus in Scorpio, Mars in Scorpio. Wow. I would like to hear your stuff. It's time for you to do it right now. It's time for you to go do it right now. The world is ready for your music right now, Woody. I'm going to pull some cards for that. I got the Sun card again, the Butterfly, the Transformation card. I got the Magician card. As above, so below. You're not owning it, Woody. You're putting things in your way that you're telling yourself that, what is the language that you're using about getting it out there? Woody?
I don't know.
Sure you know. What is it? Give me a sentence.
I don't know. I'm kind of like confused where everything's going because right now me and my buddy, we starting all over. We start from scratch. We've been trying to do this like 4 years now. So he just recently did a photo shoot. Now we're putting a package together.
Good.
Does he have a venue? He can try to prepare for September. So we try to get a band together. So everything's like try to get things together in order. So it's like putting things in perspective of where we're going from there.
Okay, I want you to take I don't know out of your sentences. I want you to take confused out of your sentences. I want you to take starting over out of your sentences. And we're always starting over every time we start a new song, every time we start a new dance, every time we start anything. It's just the way the artistic process is, Woody. So say, I'm going to allow everything to happen right now. We're working on this new thing. It's going to work, okay?
Okay.
Change your language, Woody. Can you do that?
Sure.
Don't say it didn't happen before, so it's not going to happen now. All the great artists, you know, just hang in there and be tenacious about it, okay? But you've got to watch your language, all right?
Okay.
Okay, because magic is with you right now. I got the Magician. As above, so below. What's ever coming for you right now, it's a magical time, and Uranus is in Aries. It can come instantly. It can come instantly. You'll be shocked. Okay?
Okay.
Open the electromagnetic energy and tune into your own vortex of creativity. Sometimes we're on the wrong station, and when we're on the wrong station, we say things like confused and I don't know where I'm going and we've tried a million times. Say, no, this time I'm tuning into the right station. Okay?
Okay.
Can you do that for me?
Yes.
Can you do that for you, Woody? Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Good luck, honey.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Okay.
Kate?
Sheila,
great
Sheila,
show.
Good job.
Sheila.
Good job, Sheila.
Sheila, great show. Great show.
Yay.
Oh, thank you, Sheila.
Yay. We love you, Sheila.
Yay.
You know, it's very interesting just talking with you two because you know, I was living in at 141 North Pine Street, you know, and something had to throw me on the road, me on the road to really get involved in the environment, you know, get involved in the desert and the mountain, you know, on top of the mountain and I was in the mountain, and I was in the desert, and I ended up here at the river with, you know, like with Kate. So it's all been for good, and you know, my perception is that I can't. The apartment, I lovely men that are working in my apartment. I went in today, and they're all so sweet, and they all said I love you. It was just so adorable, you know. And they're trying to make it so beautiful, which is really interesting to me, you know. They're working so hard to make it a perfect studio space where we can do process, where we can do astrology, where we can do anything, all of us, you know? So I'll end up back in the studio where I started, right? All of it has been for a reason. I don't know all the reasons yet. And this book, Samantha, oh, my God, this book, Glad No Matter What, I don't know, it saved my life. I don't know, Kate, if you know about this book.
Oh, I'm so glad.
By Sark.
I have that book. Yes.
So
glad. it's a phenomenal book. You know what I mean?
I can't.
So
read
if anybody
it
out there,
I can't read that book because I can't read her handwriting.
Oh my God! You know, it took me a while to work
yeah,
that
you have
out.
To really work at it. Yes, yes.
I worked at it, and now.
Well,
but then,
it is a
you know, for
book,
me,
though.
it's like calligraphy, Sheila. You know, I read old English calligraphy, but people look at it and they go,
uh-huh.
What?
It is like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I have
she
to tell you that Wally
purpose.
The cat is now on the table, standing here looking at me, saying, what is all these cards and stuff laying on this table here? I don't understand what is going on. It's black and white Persian cat, and with his little mug face, and it's looking at me like, what are you doing?
Well, Gandalf is laying on the couch, upside down, with both legs, back legs splayed out, and the front legs up like a rabbit.
Right.
I'm looking forward
okay,
to meeting him someday, Sheila.
I'm looking forward to meeting him. Okay,
you
need
to get a cat or a dog yourself, Sheila.
What, honey?
Well,
she needs a dog or
I'm
a cat.
I'm going on the dog bus.
A nice cat. A cat would be perfect for you. A nice, friendly
cat.
Exactly. Animals are very independent.
Well, see, the thing is the cat would be great for Sheila because they're snuggly and they don't require a lot of care. She wouldn't have to walk.
You wouldn't have to walk it, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Wally's
saying
the same thing here. Wally, I am putting the cards away, so you don't have to worry about them now, okay? Looking at me like, what? Okay, I love you too.
I love
you. Nice.
Great. Love you all. And here comes music for Mother and Child by Grouse D. Jensen.
Okay.
Here we go.
Love you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.